From the Midas of Roseburg studio, KQEN weather in the Umpqua Valley, mostly sunny today, high of 53, partly cloudy, fog overnight down to 34, morning fog tomorrow, otherwise sunny, and a high of 50. For the weekend, freezing fog on Saturday, then sunny and 52, Sunday 30% chance of rain, cloudy, and 51. We're at 52 now, KQEN News Time, 1235.
This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. Thanks for being here. Well, as we've talked about a couple of times recently, a number of guardsmen from the local area and other parts of Oregon back after about a year on a deployment, and we're going to talk about that today. Captain Owen Lee from the Oregon National Guard, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Yes, thank you for having me.
So talk about your role, first of all, with the local Charlie Company group here.
Okay, so currently I'm the commander of Charlie Company, based there out of Roseburg. I actually just came into the position, but on the deployment was with the battalion staff. So I did interact with Charlie Company a lot, had a close relationship with our prior commander. He and I have both been friends for years at this point.
And where are you based out of yourself normally?
Normally I'm based out of Tacoma, all the way up in Washington. So it's a bit of a drive, but I honestly don't mind making the travel there. It's actually honestly very refreshing to come from Tacoma to a place like Roseburg.
And is that uncommon to be in that role when you're 6 hours away?
I would say it's not uncommon to have a little bit of a drive time for a lot of company commanders to get to their unit. It's pretty standard, but most of them at least live in state. So the sheer amount of distance there is a little bit of more of an exaggeration than you would typically see.
So for Task Force Guardian, how many folks here in the local area were deployed to that and have since come back?
All in all, Task Force Guardian brought approximately 400 from Oregon and approximately 400 from New Mexico. And then once we got there, we integrated with an additional company from the active duty 101st to total out about 1,000 people across the task force.
Wow. And any idea how many of them from the local Charlie Company unit?
From the local Charlie Company unit, I don't have the exact number off the top of my head. It was approximately 100.
Wow. So obviously a big impact to have that many people gone and to have them back now. I know there was a deployment ceremony just a few days ago to kind of officially note the end of the mission.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. That was Sunday afternoon.
And was that one kind of caught up? I think I didn't know about it till afterwards. I suppose like a lot of other things this year with COVID-19, et cetera, things like that are done differently now.
They are, yes. Traditionally in the past, I know that when the same unit deployed back in 2014, 2015 to Afghanistan, we came back and did a full demobilization ceremony with absolutely every single deploying soldier standing in a formation there in Medford. So with current social distancing considerations and, you know, the state now officially back in lockdown, that was, of course, not possible. So we did what we could, just bringing, you know, a few representatives from each company and broadcasting it over Facebook Live.
So for those that have just gotten back, was it about a year or a little under a year that they were gone?
It works out to just a little bit under a year. So we go off and we do mobilization training before any deployment just to make sure that we refine the skills that we need for when we get there and get the unit working as a cohesive team, just because, especially in this case, we were bringing together people from so many different places. And then there's usually, it ranges between 2 weeks and a month for processing through demobilization, in terms of going through everything like handling medical paperwork and such. So when you add the 9 months actually spent overseas, it chops about a year of time off.
And again, with COVID coming back, especially coming back, I guess, probably more spread out and just different than one big crunch of people all at once.
It was very different, yes. Trying to work out the struggle of being able to get flights for everyone to come back, having to do a mandatory 2-week quarantine once we landed at Fort Bliss. It was very different this time, yes.
So what can you tell us about, well, first of all, kind of go over, I know a lot of this was the Horn of Africa and Djibouti, but I know there were folks in Kenya and other places. Where all did some of these troops end up?
So Combined Joint Task Force Horn of Africa, it covers a very, very wide range of East Africa. So, I mean, we had missions in Djibouti, Somalia, Kenya, and then we also were supporting Department of State planning and considerations in other parts of the continent as well. So the farthest out that the task force ever sent anyone during our time in Africa was all the way down to South Africa.
Wow. Now, what can you tell us about the mission, the role that the troops were having in these countries?
Yes, absolutely. So Task Force Guardian deployed as the what's called the SECFOR, the Security Forces for Joint Task Force Horn of Africa. And I mean, the basics of that role are pretty much base defense and security. So for Charlie Company specifically, they were the main effort with providing base defense on Camp Lemonnier in Djibouti, which is sort of it's where the Joint Task Force is primarily headquartered. It's kind of the beating heart of all of the operations that go on throughout the Horn of Africa.
And are there particular aspects of this section of the world that just needed more attention during this particular time?
I'm not sure. In what way do you mean?
Well, because sometimes we hear about military missions that are reactive to what certain countries are doing, or because of political instability in a region, or things like that. What were some of the reasons that drove having this big a group in that area during this time?
So one of the historically, I think one of the things that a lot of people remember about the Horn of Africa and Somalia in particular, because, you know, borders right there with Djibouti, is the piracy that the area has been famous for in the past. But a lot of that has successfully stabilized out now. And the main effort that we deal with at this point is just trying stability in the Horn. As far as Somalia goes, is very much about Al-Shabaab, which is a Muslim extremist group with ties to Al-Qaeda and a number of other bad names that we don't really want to have controlling areas like Somalia.
So how long have you yourself been in the National Guard?
11 years now.
And what led you to go in to this type of service?
I would say that ultimately, I just have a very firm belief in social contract theory as it applies directly to the Constitution. Those are the values that I was raised with, that if you believe in something firmly enough, then you should stand up to physically represent what it actually means. And military service to me is exactly that.
Now, have you been on deployments like this before?
I wouldn't say it was like this, except yes, I deployed with Charlie Company there in Roseburg to Afghanistan in 2014 and 2015.
And obviously, a lot of differences between now and then with so many things going on. Talk about once you're over there, a lot of logistics getting there and coming back and all of that. But once you're in the Horn of Africa and these various locations, what were the differences in terms of COVID-19? I know each country in the world kind of handles this differently.
Yes. I'll speak primarily for Charlie Company, as they were, again, security forces for Camp Lemonnier there in Djibouti. And so it's a fairly well built up American military base there. They have a number of amenities and facilities that are designed to make the extreme passage of time of those 9 months much more, easier to cope with for soldiers, sailors, Marines that deploy to that location. A lot of that went away once COVID hit because, basic things like gyms not being able to stay open because there was concern over spread of COVID, a movie theater that was there had to close down, the MWRs, all of these amenities that they tried to implement to make the time a little bit easier on people, suddenly not available. So it was definitely a very stressful time for everyone that was there.
So did that leave folks with more free time and not much to do with it?
Absolutely, yes.
Wow. Going to take a break at Inside Douglas County. More when we come back. I'll look at the Charlie Company unit, the local folks, part of a bigger group that have recently come back from the Horn of Africa. Captain Owen Lee with us from Tacoma this afternoon. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com. Back in a couple minutes with more on Inside Douglas County, News Radio 1240, KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248 News Radio, 1240 KQEN. Lars Larson Show coming up at 1. Later, KQEN Local Talk at 4, Northwest Wine Radio. Brian Calvert looking at wine, beer, and spirits around the Northwest. Captain Owen Lee from the Oregon National Guard, commander of the Charlie Company Group here, talking about Task Force Guardian, recently back from the Horn of Djibouti and other areas over in Africa, and talking about what the mission was like this year. Over the years, as I've talked to veterans and current members of the military, certainly talking to some of our vets from World War II, they talk about the isolation during their time during Vietnam and being over there and sending letters and once in a while talking to people maybe, but it seemed like you were very much on your own. I'm curious with the technology today, was it a lot easier, and especially with all the free time with things they couldn't do due to COVID-19, was it a lot easier for troops to stay connected with their families during this time?
I would have to say it's really one of those things that it can cut both ways. On the one hand, the availability of being able to do things like FaceTime, like a lot of the soldiers would FaceTime with their kids every single day. And there's a huge, huge benefit to that in terms of trying to take care of yourself and your family while you're over there. But at the same time, I know that it was stressful for a lot of the soldiers that were there to just kind of have this very, very clear lens of everything that was going on at home and knowing that they were stuck so far away from it.
And I've heard one of the things that was different this time was normally it's your family back here that's concerned about your welfare in another country. And really this time around, it was kind of full circle because you left and then the pandemic happened after you got there.
Yes, there were definitely a lot of people that I talked to over there with that had, found out that a family member had a close call with the virus. And, it was definitely a point of stress for everyone there, worrying about, for one, not just everything that was happening with COVID-19, except then, in later on into the summer when things kind of started to escalate with the protests at that point. And I mean, there were a number of augmentees that we brought with us in the unit that reside in Portland. So it was very real for them too.
What about the age range of the local troops that were serving on this mission? Oftentimes people think about folks in the National Guard being younger, but I'm told that's not always the case.
It's not always the case. No, I think, Our oldest that we had with us, I think, was late 50s, early 60s. And the youngest, of course, we had 19-year-olds there and such. But in general, I would say the median age of the deployed soldiers, it probably skews much higher than what you would see on active duty.
Now, for those that are older, are they often folks who have been in the National Guard for a long time, or maybe join up after maybe a military career, a full-time service?
Yes, both of those are quite common. They're either, you know, your standard citizen soldier that lives and works in Roseburg, grew up there. They want to go out and serve their community, and this is their way of doing that. And they stick with it for a while. Or at the same time, there's a number of people that have come off of active duty, and they're still looking to serve while they continue to build their civilian life. And the Guard enables them to do that as well.
And along with that diversity of age and background, what about kind of the what you were able to know, and I'm sure in most cases or in some cases you don't always know, in terms of how diverse people are from their day jobs and careers? What kinds of things have these folks been, did they leave to go do and serve over there?
It definitely runs a very, very wide range. Obviously we have a number of soldiers that work in law enforcement, EMS, firefighters. We've got plenty that work, you know, retail. We have loggers. We have nurses, people in medical professions, even accountants. It's a very, very wide array of people that come from all walks of life.
And for those who have not been in the service and are not as familiar with how the Guard works, explain how things are set up so that folks are able to leave their jobs and come back to them.
So one of the biggest protections for people for that is USERA. I'm trying to remember the exact acronym, what it stands for off the top of my head. It basically was an act that says that allows for people to go and do their military service and come back to their civilian job. It's particularly designed for people in the Guard that are called up to active duty, but there's a number of protections that kind of extend beyond that. And it's designed to basically protect soldiers as they go off to do military duties that may cause some hardship for the employer.
Now, what is it like to come back? And obviously this time it was kind of a slow process of getting everybody back. But for you, for instance, what was it like to come back and then enter your regular daily life that you had before you left?
It was definitely a bit of going back and learning to walk again. They usually will pack on some leave on the end of a deployment. So some people, they'll use that leave and also go back to work so that they get to kind of collect both. I always recommend to people that they just use the maximum of the leave that they're given, because that time with family, that time of getting used to just being in a civilian environment again, it's important. But then, you know, when you actually go back to work, there's just all of the little minutiae, the details of that went into how to do your job before, that you suddenly have to play catch up with. You suddenly have to play catch up with all of the things in that job that have changed in the year that you've been away.
And you come back, whether it's Roseburg or in your case, Tacoma, to welcome to COVID-19, and here's how things work now.
Yes, it was definitely a culture shock.
Wow. So for you personally, what was it like in the transition back?
I had originally planned on taking some of that leave time and maybe traveling a little bit. Didn't wind up doing that. I mostly just took my leave time and spent some time back at home with the wife. Worked on some of my hobbies, you know, basically just stayed on lockdown and tried as much as I could not to go out there and cause any other issues for people.
All right, Captain Owen Lee, Commander of Charlie Company for the Oregon National Guard, thanks for being on with us this afternoon.
Yes, thank you for having me.
1257 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.
You You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.